space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
make music with my friends.
He's got a laptop. There it is. He's got a laptop.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Another blast from the past. So here we go, folks. You're listening to the Mad Science Show at www.shaziz.shazizradio.com. Well, you can get there at shaziz.com, too. Actually, if you want to backtrack, you can go to shaziz.net as well. It doesn't matter. But either way, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. As well as if you slide down, scroll down on that page there, you'll see a link for People for People Radio Network. Go over and check out them awesome folks. There's some cool people over there. Say hi and tell them that crazy-haired Shaziz guy sent you and stuff. So anyway, I'm going to try to do another broadcast on Twitch TV, which I'll be posting the link in all the chat rooms. And as soon as I get done posting all the links in there, I will fire up the live stream over there. See, because my intro's down there, I can't have on there because they might try to whack me with a copyright. Anyway, so I'll post in that link over there, and I'll post it in on Skype and all that, and I'll go ahead and start the stream up over there. And that way I can, you know, show you a few things. So if you kind of want to see things that I'm talking about, then you can join in and watch over there, or listen in over here. Whichever works better for you. If you're doing dishes or something like that, maybe the radio would be the best. I have no idea. Anyway, let me get over here on Twitch and throw a smiley face in the chat room, and then yeah, that's it right there. I hear myself echoing, so I gotta mute that. All right, so we're live on Twitch TV. And we're live on the radio. So I'm saying a blast from the past because about 6 years ago, somewhere around about, I think it's 2006, can't remember. Anyway, I did a video called Neodymium Magnet Accelerator. Now, if you're over there in the Super Chat room, over there off of Shaziz Radio, you'll notice that there are like four videos that I posted on there, one of which is the old neodymium magnet accelerator video that I did. And, you know, back in that day, I really didn't have a lot of high-tech terminology. Of course, I don't have a lot of high-tech terminology these days either. It's just that, you know, I couldn't articulate as well back then what I was trying to say to people and the reason why I was trying to do what I was doing. But either way, if you scroll down and look at them other, there's like four videos in total. My neodymium magnet accelerator, and there's one from Lid Motor and a couple other down there. And I'm also going to throw in a link to a YouTube channel called Sky Collection because it's also related. Some of the research that Sky Collection does is amazing. I don't speak Spanish, so I really can't understand what he's saying, but I can understand exactly what he's doing. And so with that said, if you speak Spanish, you're probably going to be better off than us. I'm going to go ahead and throw this link in on Twitch as well because Sky Collection does some neodymium magnet experiments that are really quite impressive. And basically, if you've been watching in on Twitch, you know that what I've been saying is we're working on extreme efficiency to see how far we can push efficiency to get to the point where we can actually you know, run machines and have electricity in the most incredibly efficient manner. Now, this particular neodymium magnet accelerator, while I also talked about not just efficiency, I was talking about how I wanted to show people how to use electricity different than they're accustomed to using it. So let me get that link over there and throw it into Skype. If you happen to be listening in and you want to join in on the radio show, it's just as simple as adding me as a contact. I got to copy that link there. Let's try that. Sorry about that. That's terrible for live radio, I'm sure. But it's what it is. Okay, cut. I don't know why I always end up picking up an extra part of a link every time I try to copy out of that chat room. It's just crazy. Let me get rid of that right there. Sorry about that, folks. Hold on. Give me a second here. I'll catch my breath and get my act together, hopefully. So anyway, live on Twitch TV, live on Shaziz Radio, People for People Radio Network, and we're talking about A Blast from the Past. It's a project that I started way back when called the Neodymium Magnet Accelerator. And as time goes on and I keep doing these live streams and videos, you're going to get to see the magnet accelerator come to life and what its actual true capabilities are. So back in the day, I had a few issues with the original magnet accelerator. And one of the problems I had was, number one, resources weren't necessarily readily available. I made do with what I had. 9 times out of 10, I recycled a majority of everything that I did with my experiments and such. And so I wasn't able to, you know, basically get the best quality things necessary in order to make this thing do what it is that I've been trying to show people. So, if you happen to watch the video, you'll note in the video that it has a round, completely spherical tube, and the concept is, when you pulse, like a pulse motor, you put a magnetic field through the coils there, that it would take these magnets and spin it around. In the old version, there were multiple magnets until, you know, it's kind of a, like a learning curve whenever you're studying, you know, alternative energy, and you see what other people are doing. And, you know, guys like Sky Collection, that I posted his link in there, and Russ from RWG Research, he did a few things back in the day where he used Starship coils and Rodan coils and stuff like that, and he was able to pulse these coils and spin these neodymium magnets at incredible speeds. And so with that said, you know, the neodymium magnet accelerator, while this thing is spinning around, its magnetic field is just going crazy around through there. And so in the video, you'll see all the pulsing coils, but you won't see the pickup coils that were intended to come there afterwards, because after I had some fallbacks or drawbacks or whatever with the thing, I couldn't get it to do what I needed it to do at the time, because that was before I figured out a bunch of different better circuits, and that you could actually use a function generator to do the same job to pulse these doggone magnets. But anyway, I realized that I didn't need a whole bunch of magnets inside there. And the problem I was having with that particular one was I had multiple magnets with nylon spheres that were separating these magnets. Because of the strength of these magnets, I couldn't get them to do what it was that I needed them to do. But you can see inside that video how strong that magnetic field actually is through those spheres whenever they're being pulsed. And I actually use the AC wireless AC tester in there, and you can see how strong that field is. And I have a couple different neodymium magnets that you can see that aren't part of the actual circuit, but there you can see how they're being affected by the pulsing of those coils. So anyway, if you watch those videos that I posted in the links over there at the Super Chat room, then you'll see that what I'm talking about, how you can get these things to spinning at incredible speeds. And taking that project, that old project, and resurrecting it back to life again, I've got, if you're watching it over on Twitch TV, I'll show you this tubing that I've got. Let me flip my camera around here. Okay, so basically, trying to find clear acrylic tubing so that people can actually see what's going on inside the deal at just the proper size. I got these 3/4 inch neodymium spheres that are really super strong. But the whole concept is I need these to be able to spin freely in and out through this deal when they're being pulsed. And that's what I was having the problem. But I was trying to pulse multiple magnets in one shot. I'm trying to get that there. So this is what I ended up coming up with. So this is what's going to be part of that particular project. That whenever the coils are pulsing, it's going to be spinning this magnet around in a closed loop and pulsing pickup coils. And with this particular project that you're seeing that I've been working on here about storing energy, we're going to show you how to take that energy, this is what basically going to end up looking like. It's going to look like a racetrack. It's kind of a pretty long loop right there, but it's going to look like that, and it's going to have extra pickup coils. You know, actually, this is a roll of doggone medical tape, but if you can see that on Twitch, that's basically what it's going to end up being like that. And it's going to be able to spin this magnet around, and as this magnetic field is going crazy while it's spinning around, it's going to do like what Sky Collection's been doing with his pickup coils and picking up a high voltage, high frequency wave. And so that's all that I need in order to basically charge the system up like you see right here if you're watching in on Twitch. So the concept is you get that doggone magnet to spinning, and as it's rotating around that thing extremely fast around that deal, it's constantly changing fields, constantly changing speed from north to south in those fields and charging up capacitor banks. But the key about it is that most of the pulse motors you've been looking at, it doesn't take a lot of power to pulse those coils. And so we should be able to reach some pretty incredible efficiencies by pulsing this with either transistors or MOSFETs at low voltages and be able to speed that thing up and slow it down to find the maximum amount of efficiency in order to produce high voltage. Now, I don't want current at this point in the game. Current's what gets everything hot. And so this is why I'm trying to do these Twitch live streams and radio shows about efficiency with what you're seeing here on Twitch TV. All these capacitors right here and the transformer and the bridge rectifier, everything that's going on, and the battery that's being charged, actually two batteries, 12 volt batteries that are being charged by this system, are actually being charged by a 5 volt input for the DDS signal generator and a 9 volt power supply to speed a little bit of, to add a little bit of current at intermittent times so that I can charge this faster. But with the right setup, I won't need the 9 volt portion of it. I'd be able to do all of this with the 5 volt portion of it. And that's what I'm trying to get to with this actual neodymium magnet accelerator, to get that thing to produce the high voltage, high frequency without having a transformer, an actual transformer core involved in the system. So the only thing would be involved would be coils in that neodymium magnet, which will make it more efficient because that magnet's not trying to attract to an actual iron core or even a ferrite core for that matter. So that's what that particular one's about, as well as if you're also watching in on Twitch TV, I'm gonna show a flywheel system that's going to be basically doing about the same exact thing. This is acrylic, basically plexiglass, customized flywheel that I'm putting together. Got a 12 millimeter shaft, and it's going to go on in between a couple motors, and it's actually going to help assist using centrifugal force to help those motors as they do their job. And so when this particular design is all up and running, I got a stack of neodymium magnets as well. I love these neodymium magnets. They're really super strong. So there's 30 of these, and 15 of them on each side of this disc are be inset inside that disc, and they'll actually be assisting to hold the flywheel all together and everything. When I get that all ready to go, then I will put a video out so that you can see this thing in action. But its purpose is the same as the neodymium magnet accelerator, to produce high frequency, high voltage. Now, when you're running like transistors or MOSFETs and you're trying to run a lot of current through those doggone things to see how high voltage, those things will get really hot. And that's what I don't want. We don't want any heat involved in the system, because that's a loss in the system. Whereas if you're looking at the system that I got sitting over here on the table. It's using that DDS signal generator to pulse a microwave oven transformer that then in turn, through the secondary, ramps the voltage up and drops the current down. And that voltage then in turn makes its way through the system and is stored strategically in different capacitors so that it can bleed down into the larger capacitors, the boost capacitors, and then eventually on down into the battery. And when I run this thing, I can charge it up during the daytime and I can leave it going. I've left it for an entire day and everything is still running when I get back. So it's I've reached some really amazing efficiency with this thing, folks. And if you bear with me and stick through this project right here, I've got an awesome friend out there named Rich who's made it able for me to speed this this research up. And thanks to him, I'm able to get some resources necessary to not only revive that blast from the past, which is the neodymium magnet accelerator. I'm really excited about that because if you go watch those videos that Sky Collection does and you see what he's doing with magnets and the incredible RPMs that he's getting out of there and the incredible efficiency that he's getting with those, with that particular deal, you're not going to have to worry about burning up transistors or MOSFETs when you're trying to build a circuit, because that circuit's not going to have to work hard. It's only going to have to work hard enough to pulse those coils in a certain frequency range so that you'll spin those magnets around. Well, this could unlock a few things when it comes down to how we actually build electric motors and such, and actually how we build generators. And so with that said, the whole key of everything is to try to get these things as incredibly efficient as possible, using the least amount of input as possible, and to see the maximum amount of voltage output that we can actually achieve using these particular designs. So with all these different types of capacitors that we've got out here, we've got the capability to store a massive amount of voltage pressure. And with the particular designs that I'm trying to introduce to everybody, you can charge those things up really fast. And you can imagine how much power that you can store in a boost cap bank if you can keep those things topped off. Then these things are forgiving when it comes down to, you know, charge and discharge, like your actual battery, your 12-volt lead-acid battery or whatever, even nickel metal hydride, lithium, alkaline batteries, or nickel-cadmium batteries, just any type of batteries that's out there on the market already. They don't like to charge and discharge rapidly. It takes a little bit to get those things charged up right. Well, I've also been running experiments about how to actually charge these different types of batteries with simply using voltage as opposed to using a current like your normal battery charger would put out. And if this is achievable, then that means that you don't have to use near amount of power in order to charge a battery bank up. And the less amount of current that you use in any given system means that you won't be burning things up. You won't be destroying your batteries with your solar panels or your gasoline generators or your wind turbines, because they're not going to be trying to shove too much current through that system at any given time. See, voltage will move through this entire system. I've been running this for quite some time. And you can put your hands right there on the transformer, and they're cool to the touch. It's actually cold. And the bridge rectifier, which right now the voltage is setting up at 75.2 volts, because I drained the system down overnight, but it's setting at 75.2 volts of stored energy, and each one of these voltmeters is different setup for battery or capacitor voltages. I got 8-11 on one. I got 8-10 on another. 8-12 on one. I've got 8-01 on one. And I've got 7.97 on the two batteries that I'm charging using this system right here. So that means that there's a bunch of different things being charged up simultaneously by a lower input than normally would have been used with a regular standard voltage charger. So using some of the nifty technology we have available as far as circuitry, there's no limits to where you can take this right here. I was hoping years ago that when I did the neodymium magnet accelerator that other people would take and run off of that idea, but you know, nobody ever did. I mean, this is 6 years or more later, and here we are, and nobody ever really took that idea and ran with it. You know, every single idea that I put out there on YouTube, I'm hoping that people will spark some sort of idea in their head, and they will say, well, I'm going to try that, but I'm going to try it a little bit different, and they will share their research out there, and then you'll get to see the possibilities of what actually could be done. The video that Lidmotor did, he's also, while he's pulsing that same, he's pulsing a neodymium sphere magnet with a Bedini circuit, it's also showing that how it's actually charging using induction up a coil that's lighting up a little LED. To most folks, that don't sound like that big of a deal. But to me, it's quite brilliant because of the amount of input that's actually required to put into those actual circuits and stuff, and the things that could actually be done with it. If you see the video that I did years ago, you can see how strong that magnetic field was pulsing with a 12 volt battery. Well, with these other circuits out there going on, it's going to take less power than it did back then to actually run that. That's the whole key, and we're actually trying to get as maximum amount of efficiency as possible. Sorry, I got to take a drink of my coffee here. But if you have a little patience and stick with me, I'm going to rebuild that neodymium magnet accelerator with modern day circuits and everything that I've learned throughout the last 6 years, and I'm going to revive that, and I'm going to show you how to incorporate that particular design with this one that you're looking at here on Twitch TV, and show you how to charge that thing up, and even to the extent of using the signal generator itself, which already has built-in circuits, we can run tests live for you, and that will show you at which different frequency ranges that magnet spins the best, and even down to the point where as the magnet is actually flying around back and forth through this deal, my preference would have been a perfect circle. But the company out there that I'm trying to get to mold me some tubing into a perfect circle, it's a pretty expensive ordeal. And that's, it's like a $300 mold fee, and then like $170-some-odd per one that I want to put together. But my deal is, when I put these together, I want to actually make a kit so that anybody out there who wants to try to replicate the deal doesn't have to go through everything that I had to in order to be able to, replicate it. So if you're looking in on, God bless it, I keep dropping everything in the floor. If you're looking in on Twitch TV, let me see where I can get here where I can see what's going on. Sorry, folks, I'm juggling over here. If you're looking in on Twitch TV, I'm wanting to put together some kits so that whenever these experiments that I'm running on efficiency, that you'll be able to, if you decide you want to, I can get you these kits for whatever it costs me to put them together, And then you'll be able to real time actually test alongside I'm doing the virtual labs thing that I keep talking about. That way, when you're working on it and then it does exactly what I tell you that it's going to do, you can verify it real time. You know that what I'm trying to show everybody is right. It's working. It's doing its job. What I was talking about. And so, you know, this is what I'm hoping to do with not just this project right here, but every other project that I'm going to try to be bringing to the table, is that while I'm working on it, you watch the video, you see what it does, you know it, you've watched and you understand the concept, and you believe enough in the concept to try to test it out, then we'll get a kit to you and you can build it and basically test and verify it, and then we can all troubleshoot and make it even better together. That's the whole plan. And so every single project that I'm trying to do, I've actually been trying to get different companies and find out what it takes to get the parts put together and the cheapest way to do it. Those tubing that I just showed right there, there's a deal where you can actually vacuum seal or vacuum form plastic, acrylic and stuff like that, and we might be able to make them really simple and cheap doing that. And then it'd give you the opportunity to be able to try it alongside me. While I'm sitting here doing it, you can be building it and watching it on live stream, and if you had any problems, you can throw a message over there into the Twitch TV chat room. Or even at that time, I could still be in on the super chat room, and you can throw questions in there, what's going on, and I can show you live, real time, where you need to fix something or whatever. And then if you come across something that you see that might work better and want me to try it, then you can help me out by throwing that information in there. Together, we'll troubleshoot it, and we'll make it even better yet. So that's what the whole purpose of the Twitch TV and Shaziz Radio is, because I promised that I was going to study everything that there is to know about alternative energy and share it for free with everybody in the world. That's what my goal is. And so, you know, if you're wanting to try all these things like that, and I can develop a kit for them and, send it to you for the cost of whatever materials that it costs, me to gather up or whatever, and, that'll help you out so that you can actually try it real time alongside with what I'm doing. So with that said, these newer capacitors and the circuits are actually getting cheaper out there. And there's a company that you can get a hold of that whenever you find a circuit like this Bedini circuit, I'm trying to get some PCB boards put together to where it's really ridiculously simple. You get the circuit and all you got to do is wire your Bedini motor up to it and run your tests and stuff. And when I did that video, John Bedini was right. I'm serious. Because what he was doing in there and what that Bedini motor was actually possible, capable of doing, people keep on trying to figure out why it is that they can't get those batteries to charge up. But they just weren't paying attention to what he was trying to show them. He didn't come right out and blatantly say, yeah, this is actually right here. This is the secret of it all. He's tried to show them, because if you look out there into the alternative energy research community, folks, there's been a lot of people come up missing because of things that they discovered and tried to share with everybody. Now, I'm trying to share it with you live, real time, so we don't have that issue. But there's some people out there that will basically put the idea right in front of your face, and if you're paying attention to what they're saying, you can think outside the box, and you already got the answer. Right there in front of you, you've already got the answer. We're basically just talking about using power in a completely different fashion than the standard model, the non-conventional way of doing things. Because once you understand how that energy is actually traveling, then It's just a matter of understanding simple concepts of voltage and pressure and current. You know, everybody kept giving me a rash all the time about current watts and amps, and I'm trying to tell them, look, at this stage in the games, that doesn't even apply. Your standard mathematics doesn't apply to what I'm doing right now. Now, when we get around to the point where we're actually running the systems that you're wanting to run with any given generator, well, at that point, when we start pulling that power again, now you can go back to the standard form of measurement, all right? Because now they will apply. And this is what I kept trying to tell everybody, but I got called everything under the sun because people just simply did not understand what it was I was trying to say. They couldn't step outside the box and get away from the school book long enough. But what you're seeing right here, if you're watching in on Twitch, is a really impressive, efficient circuit. There's no heat losses in this system. The only heat loss would be before the system, which would be the actual transformer from the 110, 120 wall outlet. You can see that wall outlet up there. I don't know if it'd show up on there or not, but let me see if I can get the camera up there. That wall outlet right there, if you're watching that, it's fluctuating between 115, 116, and sometimes 117 volts while it's going. It's not even a steady current going through there. So it's constantly fluctuating depending on what the heck you're running around here. Well, that's whatever transformer is connected to that is being basically brutalized by that amount of power that's shoved in there, because it doesn't require near that amount of power in order to do the same exact job. I mean, for Pete's sake, that doggone transformer down there, it's designed to run at 60 hertz, but it doesn't need near the amount of current that you're shoving to that thing in order to produce the high voltage wave that's necessary on the other side. Now, in your microwave oven transformer, you got what's called a magnetron. It's literally, quite literally, just equivalents of a light bulb. And when the thing, when you put current to the light bulb, it gets the magnetron, the element inside the magnetron hot. And the high voltage secondary is sending a high voltage, high frequency wave in there that's bumping off electrons that start to spin around crazy inside that vacuum, and then produce a microwave out the other that ends up cooking your food. So it's really ridiculously simple to understand once you grasp a basic concept. But in reality, I'm pulsing that same transformer at a lower voltage, a lower current. I don't need to pulse that in order to ramp that voltage up. I can speed it up or slow it down, you know, with the lower amount of voltage. So it makes it more efficient. Now, if I want to push a stronger field, I might have to put a little bit more current to it, but nowhere near what that wall socket's shoving at it constantly. If you go feel any transformer that's connected to the wall, even when you're not running whichever appliance that it's on there, you'll note that that thing is hot. It's because it's been running all day. You know, it's wasting electricity just standing there plugged into the wall. It's just sitting there wasting electricity, and it's not necessary for you to shove that much power to it. And if you aren't using it, then basically it shouldn't even be connected through to the circuit. So you could make smart circuits for every single device that would instantaneously, when you shut the power off your TV, would also separate that transformer. You know, it'd still store enough power to keep your memory in your TV, but it would shut the transformer off so that your transformer's not sitting there working whenever you're not using it. That would save you a whole lot of money, and it would make your efficiency yet even stronger. So that's another project that I'm working on, is a smart system that you can use for whichever appliances you're running that will actually shut your transformer off so that you'll not be wasting energy when the thing's not being used. So let's see here. If you wanna ask me any questions, just throw them in there on Twitch TV, or in there in the super chat. I'm monitoring the chats right now while I'm trying to do all this. Get another drink of my coffee. But the whole deal, I want to make this as simple as possible. And when I draw these schematics out, I want to draw them out like Daft Man did it. If you ever get an opportunity to find that guy, I'll have to find a link and post it for him as well. But every time he makes a circuit, he makes it so ridiculously simple to understand. He actually has his own website. I posted it somewhere in the past on the Super Chat Room. But you don't even have to really be an electronics engineer. All you got to do is be able to look at the picture and get the numbers off the parts and order those parts. And he shows you exactly where to put the wires. You can connect that circuit together and you can run these tests and, you know, learn a few things about transistors and resistors and MOSFETs and all that kind of stuff, and be able to maybe possibly engineer your own circuit even though you're not really an electronics engineer or anything like that. But I want to make it simple for everybody to understand, because once you understand how energy travels and what you can actually do with it, and ways to save money on things, basically things that are already on the store shelves, you can do things with it. That's another reason why I like to do videos where I repurpose things or recycle parts and things, so that while I'm out there finding these different things that I'm using to recycle to run experiments in my lab, then they'll give you ideas of what you could salvage from things that other people just up and throw away. It's crazy that we live in such a wasteful society that people throw things away all the time. But if you know what to look for, worst case scenario, you can always keep your cell phone charged up, because right now you're sitting on quite literally the holy grail of devices that you can grab solar power, you can grab thermal power, thermal electrics, and wind power and everything else, and different types of old exercise equipment that might have a 30-volt permanent magnet motor in there. Or I even showed a few things where you can take AC motors and put some magnets inside there and turn them into little mini generators, little hand crank generators that you can make out of a microwave carousel motor, whatever. But if everything works out the way that I hope it does, I'm going to have a lot more videos out there and a lot more live streams of projects where you can actually see real time. And keep a list of all the different materials and how it is that I made everything, so that you'll be able to, right alongside me, build it right beside me and test it right beside me. And if there's anything I'm saying out there that's incorrect or whatever, you can show it to me and we'll fix it. We'll make it work. And basically, you'll be able to tell everybody else, look, hey, I tried what that old crazy-haired Shazist was saying, and it works. I've actually got a prototype as well. I made one right alongside him, and, he's making these kits that when he's working on a project, we can test them together. You can actually get all your questions answered as far as the measurements. I always have people asking me, well, what's the amperage? What's the wattage? And all that. I really don't like to answer those questions, because right at this stage in the game, this is not what I'm working for. It's not what I'm trying to share with everybody. That if you understand what it is that I'm trying to show you, how to use energy completely different than the way the conventional method that we're using power right now, you will get a greater efficiency out of every single generator that you want. These Bedini motors, people can't figure out why it is that they can't charge these batteries back up while they're running it. Well, first off, you gotta understand, you can't run a battery like you do a capacitor. You can't run a battery and charge a battery at the same time. If you're drawing power off of that battery and you're drawing too much current from it, you're allowing too much current to flow from that battery to any given device, and the more current goes to it, the hotter both sides of it gets. Your battery gets hot, and your motor gets hot, and it's actually producing a second field that's slowing everything down. And by that time, your battery is already trying to fight in one direction, and then you're trying to fight against it in another direction. You're trying to shove power back into that battery. You should never be charging the same battery that you're running with. Once you get that down, you can put a battery switching circuit in there that will detect the voltage of the run battery. And then when the run battery gets to a certain voltage, it will automatically transfer off of the run cycle onto the charge cycle, and then the opposite one would be onto the run cycle and off the charge cycle. So you always have a charged battery in the background waiting to in line to be used. And if you put a buffer between every portion of the system, then that means that you can store a whole lot of voltage. Like right now, I'm up to 75.4 volts stored pressure. That stored pressure before, it's coming after the microwave oven transformer, which has a capacitor in between it. So, you know, it's not, that function generator is not having to work hard to charge that up to that 75 volts. But that 75 volts of stored pressure that's pushing all the voltage forward. And so it will hold that pressure until I use something downstream. And if you're putting that voltage in there fast enough, you can get a real-time on-demand current on the opposite side. You can get that current back, is what I've been trying to point out. Not worried about the current right at the point. I want that voltage pressure because I know what it's capable of doing. See, some people call it tension. Some people call it pressure. I'm getting a rash just because of the words that I use. That, you know, they'll just have to deal with it if they're trying to want to understand what it is that I'm trying to share everybody. But apologize for that, you know. If I understand mechanically how this power is moving, and I understand how different types of storage banks will hold different types of power, and what types of, you know, the AC capacitors, which ones will do which, you know, like the start capacitors that I got in series before the bridge rectifier in this particular circuit, those normally wouldn't be ran constantly. Because they're not designed to handle a lot of constant current, because they'll end up getting hot and destroying themselves. But because of the way that I'm using the power, the start capacitor is used to pack a punch. And so that will help to get a motor started. Well, since I'm not trying to shove a bunch of current through there, all I'm trying to do is shove voltage in through there, I still get my AC wave the way that I want it. But I'm not causing those capacitors to get hot. I'm just using them for the specific purpose of smoothing out that wave and building up some pressure that helps to push that voltage through that bridge rectifier and do it smoothly and charge the series bank of capacitors on the opposite side. So with that said, now you ain't got all those losses in heat. Now I can use a capacitor that normally would be kicked out of the circuit at a certain point because it would get too hot. I'm able to use it real time and use its strengths to help me out in what it is that I'm doing. And so with that said, the doggone supercapacitors, they have their own little quirks about how to charge them up. All of that energy is bleeding down from the basic high voltage that's in the basic DC capacitors. It's bleeding down into the big giant boost capacitors, which is also bleeding down into the actual battery bank. So it's building up pressure, and then by the time it gets to the boost caps, it's actually building some current back. And then by the time it gets down to the battery, it's already pushing that power into the battery system so that it stores energy. And so that's why by the time I'm done running this all day long, I can walk away for an entire day and it'll run the circuit that's behind me, and I just allow that energy to drain itself off so that I can continue to see how much longer that I can get that thing to run every single time and how incredibly efficient that I can get it to be. And when you reach a maximum amount of efficiency, that's when you get into the point where people like to try to this terminology like zero point, over unity, perpetual motion, and all that crazy stuff, and I'm talking about free energy. Now, if the only thing that you can get close to, if you want to go by the way that everybody thinks about free energy, which they're wrong, because not everybody, but people who've been listening to me, they understand it. energy's everywhere. And you can store it. And you can use it. And if you understand how it's traveling and what it's doing, then you can manipulate it to do your bidding, so to speak. But the closer you get to efficiency, the closer you'll get to free energy. And quite literally, if you get efficient enough, you might just be able to breach one of those hurdles that they keep saying is out there so that you can't get perpetual motion. They say that perpetual motion is not possible because of physics, that there's too much resistance or too many losses in the system or whatever. And they also try to anchor you down to a closed loop system. Well, I couldn't care less about a closed loop system. If I had a super efficient system, and then suddenly all I needed was a few volts from some outside source, I could throw up a solar panel, and since that thing's already incredibly efficient, now I'm going to use that solar panel to supplement that little extra boost that I needed. Now, when it ain't sunny outside, I throw up a little wind generator that does the same exact thing. And everything that can be made on a small scale can be scaled up or scaled down in order to suit your needs so that you can have all the power that you need to run everything it is you need to run. Now, I said this I don't know how many times, but people look at me cross-eyed when I say it, that those generators that you're using out there, 2500 watt generator and above, those are capable of doing so much more work than they're doing used conventionally. And if you understand what it is I'm trying to show you and implement that with that generator, then you're going to find out you're going to get the maximum amount of efficiency out of that, which is going to do several things for you in the long run. Is that, first off, your generator's not going to get near as hot because it's not going to have to work near as hard. It's going to last longer. And your fuel input, whatever power input you put in, whether it be gasoline, diesel, or propane, methane, butane, or whatever, doesn't matter. You're going to use less input in order to get it to do the job that you need it to do. Your entire system from that point on could be designed for incredible efficiency. Just by understanding that your average electric fan doesn't require near the amount of power that you're shoving to it at the frequency range that you're shoving it in there. It don't need that much power. These magnetic fields don't have to extend way out past the rotor or the transformer or anything like that. All that's wasted energy out into the air, and it also adds to things like eddy currents and lens effect that causes that transformer to get hot and all this different stuff there. Now, just by what I said, people will turn and twist my terminology and say that I ain't got no understanding of what it is that I'm talking about. That's not what causes heat and all this kind of jazz. But look, go out to your local waterfall and look down at the base of that waterfall and see what's going down at the base of that waterfall. There's complete and utter chaos going down. when that water's falling down there, it doesn't have a smooth path to go through. So it's going waves and whirlpools and splashes and all that kind of stuff. Well, imagine if you're shoving a lot of current towards a transformer, and that current, that transformer can only accept so much current, it's going to do the same exact thing. Because water and electricity work just like each other. Air pressure, water pressure, electrical pressure, they all mimic each other, identical in the things, the ways that they react as far as physics go. And so if you take and put only the amount of pressure necessary to run that, to pulse those coils, to transfer that energy to a magnetic field on the timing that you want, then that thing will never get hot. And if it never gets hot, then the insulation in on the windings of your transformers will never reach their thermal breakdown, and therefore they won't short out and they will not fail. They'll last for long, long time. Until nature finally deteriorates it, you know, via oxidization or, you know, drying out and cracking or whatever. Those things will last, and if they're in a controlled environment, they could last indefinitely. It's like the fluorescent bulbs that you use. As long as that vacuum is never broken, and that gas and all the materials and steel inside there, even when the tungsten element in each side of those bulbs go bad, which those tungsten elements are merely there to be a preheater to warm the gas up inside that tube, so that the high voltage, high frequency can start energizing that gas into the plasma state and producing visible light by the rays that they put off and interacting with the phosphorescence inside that bulb. And so even a dead fluorescent bulb is still salvageable. You can still get light off of it if you understand how to use it. I've even lit up incandescent light bulbs using high frequency. Because the current obviously ain't going to make it across there unless I put a lot of current on it. But that high voltage, high frequency can quite literally just leap across the gap, energize that tungsten element, and get it hot, producing visible light. I did one called Vacuum Spark Gap basically had that old incandescent style headlamp out of a motor vehicle that didn't the element was broken too, and I still got light out of the thing. I still got it to light up. And so with that said, when you start understanding voltage and frequency and how this power is actually moving, you can speed it up, you can slow it down, you can do amazing stuff with it. So let's see here. See if there's any comments in the chat room on the other side there. Alright, so basically, folks, when we get to the point where, you know, I built something, you're already going to know how to build it. When I put some devices out there on the table, you're already going to know the construction of it. You're going to know the theory behind it. You're going to understand the doggone, the whole entire concept. So that if you decide that you want to replicate the idea, you know, you can take it upon yourself to go out there and track down the same parts that I got. And I will capture, links and pictures of everything and part numbers. And I'll post them in over at Shaziz Radio and Shaziz.net so that whenever you want to try something, you'll be able to find the parts. So somebody says, think me awake. All right, well, hopefully we'll help you out. See, what I'm wanting to do is I'm wanting to try to, you know, the people said that they needed clean, renewable alternative energy. And they said that we needed new green type energy that's going to not pollute the planet. Alright, well, I'm here to give you that. I want to show how to use energy in a completely non-conventional sense in an incredible efficient manner If you're watching in on Twitch TV, somebody said, could be wrong, though. I don't know. Oh, he said, thanks, me. Never mind. Sorry. Anyway, so that when it comes down to it, you'd be able to, at the very least, save money on your doggone power usage. Of course, that would reduce your carbon footprint, right? Well, anybody who knows me knows what I feel about that whole carbon footprint scam. It's a scam. Global warming, climate change, all that, it's a big scam. I don't call it mad science for nothing because it really makes me mad. But the circuit you're looking at, if you're looking in on Twitch TV, is basically guiding energy from a DDS signal generator through a microwave oven transformer, ramping the voltage up, dropping the current down, shoving that voltage down and through run capacitors that in turn is going through a bridge rectifier. Now, the key about that bridge rectifier is you don't need a lot of current in order to take that voltage and turn it in from an AC wave to a DC wave. You can run straight voltage into that bridge rectifier, and it will do the same exact job that it would do otherwise, with the exception is now it will not get hot. That thing says it can handle up to 100 amps at 1,000 volts. So if I can run that 1,000 volts through in the milliamp range or lower, and still get the same amount of pressure out the other side to be able to charge those capacitors, that means that bridge rectifier will never reach its thermal breakdown, and it will never fail. It will never go bad. The materials inside there, everything has a thermal breakdown point. And so, I'm going to throw a smiley face in there. Alright, so, anyway, I'm getting a bit distracted. Sorry about that, folks. So, everything in electronics, everything in mechanical, always has a thermal breakdown point. All these different types of materials. And if you figure out the weakest point in that system, and you know exactly how to resolve that system so that that part will never fail again. If that part never fails, and everything down the line never reaches its thermal breakdown point, it will never fail either. And so if you can understand how to push that energy around where you want it, you can still get the same amount of work done that you was wanting to do, but this time you're doing it in a manner which you're not destroying your parts. You're not burning things up, and you're basically saving yourself a lot of money, a lot of headache. Well, every single appliance out there right now on the market is basically having more power shoved to it than it actually needs to function. We're actually going to get a Variac so that I can show exactly what it is I'm talking about. And so, let's see, technically isn't NORS electronic actually DC? I don't remember that acronym, sorry. what's coming out of this DDS signal generator is more likely pulse DC, which DC is even better because DC has a stronger punch to it because the AC wave is going back and forth, and so you might not get as strong a punch every time. But yeah, everybody knows whenever you pulse a coil with DC, you get a stronger pulse to it. So, with that said, that's only a 5-volt input that's coming in off of that power supply. But the transformer that you actually use, the adapter, it's got a primary side on there. So right now that, I don't know if you can see it or not. I'll try it again. Let me get that right there out of the way. The current coming off of that wall is at 115 volts. It fluctuates between 115 to 16 to 17 because it's never steady current for some doggone reason. But either way, that's hitting those transformers like your cell phone charger and all that. That's hitting that. And you don't need that much power in order to run that signal generator. That signal generator right there, it's just got a little tiny circuit board in it. And it don't require only 5, a little bit over maybe around about 5 volts in the milliamp range in order to run that. I think the transformer says it's got 5 volts at 1,000 milliamps output, so basically 1 amp max. All right? But either way, it don't require near the amount of power that that wall socket's shoving to it. And so that causes that wall socket... doggone, I dropped my camera. That causes that wall socket and the transformer to get warmer. The longer you leave it on, the warmer it's going to get. But if you're only putting the amount of power necessary to run that, it says, doesn't power supplies for most AC electronics actually convert to DC? Yeah. Because now you're getting into, silicon chips, things like the transistors and MOSFETs and all that. So, better to start running it with DC from the get-go is what I've been trying to say about that. Because right now I got these battery banks that I can actually unplug that from the wall outlet, and so I don't even need that. Actually, I did, if you watch in on Twitch, I did that from the last video. I showed you a power pack that is rechargeable using lithium ion batteries. These gizmos right about here, and so this right here has a 1 amp and a 2 amp input and output, so I can run this on the 1 amp output and run that doggone signal generator with this power bank. Well, I've got a second one of these that when this one gets down to a certain percentage, I can kick this one off and have the other one on while this one here is recharging. So you get them going back and forth, one's charging and one's actually running the load. But by running it with the DC side, because like you said, let's see, T-Mod in there said that, doesn't power supply most AC electronics actually convert to DC. That's correct. That's 100% correct. But since it's running from DC, why not use a 5-volt battery to run a 5-volt deal so that you're not wasting all that extra energy that's coming out of that wall socket? You don't need that. And all you have to do is be able to charge your storage. And that is the key to what I'm showing right here on this table right here. I'm able to take that AC and drop it down and charge the transformer, and then change that to a high voltage and store that power. Right now I'm sitting at 75.8 volts. Let me show you up here if you're watching in on Twitch. 75.8 volts stored power in these three series RAN capacitors. So it'll go from the negative side of the bridge rectifier around through that capacitor over there, and then right back around to the positive side. So it's acting like a battery being charged, and it's storing right now 75.8 volts on that deal. Now, the other capacitors, like the car audio capacitors, when they get fully charged up, they'll, go all the way up 12 volts or whatever, but right now, they're actually using power. So you see that blinking on and off. It's not charged up completely. It's actually using power right now. It's a load that's actually on this entire circuit. So when those get charged up, you'll note that voltage there start getting higher. This circuit right here is a parasitic load that is intentionally made to, use even a little bit of induction down there to drain power from the system so that this system's constantly under a load. And that's done for a reason, so that I can show you that you can actually get this doggone thing to charge while it's under a load, which is really important if you're ever trying to do one of those generators that you want to recharge itself. He said, battery tech, no change much in the last 100 years or so. That's true. But you got all the different types of batteries. You got alkaline, non-chargeable batteries, or you got lithium ion, you got nickel cadmium, nickel metal hydride batteries, and and, you know, lead acid batteries. So basically, there's really not a whole wide variety to pick from, except for if you go over to check out Robert Murray Smith on YouTube. He's actually building a battery factory where he's using some graphene technology to make some pretty good batteries with better storage capacity. And so, with that said, that means that even the battery technology is going to get smaller and more powerful. But in the meantime, these capacitors that they've got nowadays, these things are getting incredible. These boost banks right here, Maxwell boost caps, you can start a car with those things. And these right here are mini versions of those. Those are super capacitors, and, you know, each one of them might be like 1.5 volts or two. No, these are set in 2 volts deals. So basically, each there's four running series together. That equals up to 5 volts. So I can run that DDS signal generator off of that alone. And I've got two of those, so I got the equivalence of 11 volts or whatever. Do the math, each one of them for 5 volts up there. But the other one over there, this long run right here, that's an 11.5 volt setup right there. And so I got storage capability. And the good thing about the capacitors are that they can charge and discharge quicker without having to basically get hot like a regular battery, because a regular lead acid battery and lithium ion and nickel cadmium, all the batteries out there, when they're put under a load, the way they run them now is they get hotter. And of course, you know, you don't want too much heat, because those things will start to expand and then eventually, you know, bust a hole in the side and start leaking their internals out on. Whereas a capacitor, there's different uses for each one of them, obviously, but those capacitors can store and charge and discharge faster. So let me see if I can put a visual in your head here. I get a drink of my coffee. Put a visual in your head. Imagine you got a generator, and from the battery that you want to run your electric motor with, in between your battery and your electric motor, you have a capacitor bank capable of storing a really good charge. Prior to your battery bank, you have a buffer between an output of your generator, so that cold coffee no good. You're right, I hate cold coffee. Cold coffee stinks. Let me type in here. Laugh out loud. You said it, brother. Sorry about that, folks. Not a good multitasker. Alright, so anyway, yeah, I'm trying to interact with everybody. Actually need a team. That's what I need. I need somebody who can push buttons while I talk or something like that. Or they talk and I push buttons. I lost my track. Anyway, these batteries, they get hot because you're trying to charge and discharge them. So if you have a capacitor bank on the output of your generator that you're wanting to charge your battery with, and then you got a battery in between there, and then you got another capacitor bank, so now when you get to a certain point, when that battery's full, its pressure is going to want to fill up those capacitors as well. And so now you got a buffer between your generator where you're not charging that battery directly. You're actually skimming that power right from the capacitor bank across the top of the battery down into the next one. And your load is actually running off of the capacitors instead of the battery itself. So the only thing your battery is at that point in the game is basically a backup for the capacitors. And the capacitors can actually handle the charge and discharge, you know, better, way better, without the side effects that your actual battery would get. Now, there are certain types of capacitors, you know, there's run capacitors and there's start capacitors for AC. So when the AC wave's coming off of your generator, if you understand how these things are working and you understand how much current you might have coming out of your generator, then you can pick the best capacitors, AC capacitors. Yeah, it acts just like a fuel tank. See? Exactly. That's brilliant. I love these people that come in here in these chat rooms because it seems like the smartest ones show up sometimes, and it's awesome. I love interacting with people like that. But yeah, basically it does. It acts like your fuel tank. Well, you might have been talking about the coffee. Oh, wow. Well, capacitors act like a fuel tank too, so it's the same thing. Anyway. So anyway, oh wow, so I got somebody in the other chat room over there. So a smiley face in there too. So if you got the doggone concept of what it is that I'm saying here, and you have a little bit of patience with me, I'm going to revive the neodymium magnet accelerator. Yeah. Okay. We're having a couple different conversations on two different chat rooms. Alright, so if you, I might stay in the super chat for a minute. Alright, so if you say that, that'll keep me from being distracted. Burn it. I hate it when that happens. Okay. Well, let's just go on. If you understand what it is that I'm trying to share with everybody, I want to make it ridiculously simple to anybody that wants to use this idea, to anybody that wants to try to replicate any of the designs. I want to make it ridiculously simple. Whether it comes down to actually drawing a schematic, you know, if anybody out there who isn't into electronics actually looks at a schematic, it will boggle your mind. Because it's symbols. You got to learn a new language when you're reading electronic schematics. But I want to do like Daft Man did and actually put a picture of the actual part so that you can see it. It shows you right where to set it down, which side of it to put it on, and makes it ridiculously simple. So even those who don't know about electronics can just get the parts together, maybe in a kit form, put them all together, and now you can have a real working device right there in front of you. And then when it comes down to worst case scenario, a power grid outage or whatever, you're already going to be a step ahead of the game because you're going to know what to look for and what not. Things that you can salvage, you know, and even safety issues with different types of materials, because every time I put something out that might have any kind of possible, you know, hazard to it, I want to make sure that everybody's safe. I don't want nobody getting hurt trying anything. You know, I gotta say, don't learn electrical safety by accident. You know, don't get yourself shocked or hurt or worse, you know, messing around with high voltage. But high voltage, the voltage pressure that I keep talking about, if you actually pay attention to how the power companies send it down the line, they're sending a high voltage, high frequency wave down that line that you couldn't run your house off of. That's one of the things that people keep telling me all the time. Well, I can't run my house off of it. It don't have enough current watts and amps and all this kind of stuff. Well, you couldn't run your house off of the power that the power company's sending you. Without that transformer stepping that down and storing some of that voltage pressure, you couldn't run your house. It'd set fire to your house if you tried to use that power direct. You couldn't do it. You have to step it down. And that's basically what's happening in this micro system that you're looking at on Twitch. It's ramping the voltage up, dropping the current down, and sending that voltage, a high frequency wave down through AC capacitors, and then changing it back into a usable power again. Which means that now you got power that you can turn back into the current that you need to run the inefficient junk that we've been running all this time. But for the most part, I keep calling all these appliances junk. They're not necessarily junk. They're engineered all right. They probably could be engineered a heck of a lot better to be more efficient. But the fact is, they don't need the amount of power that you're shoving to them, so you turn them into junk by doing that. So anyway, with that said, let's see. What do we want to work on next? Alright. I'm turning my camera around for y'all folks on Twitch. And most folks listening in on the radio, unless you go on Twitch, you can't see how crazily animated I get for the most part. When I'm messing around trying to explain things, I got my hands flailing in the air and I'm trying to express something with my hand signals that I can't really express with words. But this flywheel that I'm putting together for the generator, it's got a little bit of weight to it. Alright, and this has 15 inset magnets on this side, and it has 15 inset magnets on that side. When it's all said and done, the magnets on this side will actually be holding these two halves of, if you look real close, there's a seam in there. There's two separate halves of plexiglass. And there's a reason for that, because I want to be able to take this thing back apart whenever it's done, so that if I need to make a mold of this, I can replicate these rapidly. So if you need one for your project, then I'll be able to do that. And so, with that said, every one of these magnets right here are in a specific order for a reason. Like, I don't know if you, on the radio, you're not going to be able to understand what I'm saying, but these two are offset with each other. But if you're on Twitch, and if you are on the radio and you want to see this later, it actually saves a copy of the stream. So if you look, the other opposite side are offset from it. And so this side right here would be a north field. That side would be a north field. The back side of each of these magnets will be a south field. And so the way that this is actually set up, it's guiding the field where I want it to go. Because that magnet back there, let me get this on the camera there better. This is hard to do, trying to sit here and hold stuff and talk at the same time. But because of the way these magnets are oriented, I still got a south field involved in this thing, but it makes a special kind of wave like this going around. So when this thing's spinning around, normally you'd have like north, south, north, south. Well, essentially I do have north, south, but the south one's on the opposite side of the disc, but it's set back a little bit. And that's for a reason. Whenever I get this all together, I'll show you why that reason is. But either way, when I go to replicate these, that's why I needed it to be able to be pulled apart, so that I can actually make a mold and maybe even pour this with clear acrylic resin, pour an entire deal, so that these would be easy to replicate. And when it comes down to the neodymium magnet accelerator, this particular design right here is only a temporary solution, unless it happens to work out better than I had anticipated. These are already off the store shelf. But I want every single part that I put in these projects, that to the extent where you'll be able to get a hold of them and you'll be able to try them out as well. So that when we put this together, not only is it put together the same, but it looks good, and you can see what's going on inside there. This is why I keep doing this whole deal about making them see-through, so you can actually see that magnet spinning around inside there. And with the plasma reactor, it's really important for educational purposes that you can actually see the reaction that's going on inside there, and be able to explain it to other people, you know, how and why it is it's doing what it's doing. So let's see. Anyway, something else I wanted to show you, but let me just figure this out. Anyway, the whole deal is, the way that we're using power right now is incredibly inefficient. And if you understand what it is I'm trying to show you, when we get all these generators and this little neodymium magnet accelerator put down, and you understand the efficiency that this thing is able to achieve, turn around and face the camera so you don't got to look at my lack of shaving. See, this is duct tape and baling wire around here, you know. I got XPs and whatever. Alright, imagine this. Oh, let me show you this over here. This is a replica of John Bedini's, this is his circuit right here. It's all cluster right now. But this thing works. And he actually sold a kit form of this when he was alive. I don't know if you can still buy this thing. But the circuit board right down there, I want to make ridiculously simple so that if you decide to build something similar to that, that circuit will work on multiple different deals, and it also has significance in what it is that I'm showing you over here as far as, how to use that power differently. There, that. Sorry about that. If you're on Twitch, you're probably getting dizzy as heck. But this is the storage portion of it. The generators, my gosh, something as simple as the little, this right here. If you're on Twitch and you're looking at this, what you're looking at is a little motor out of a microwave oven carousel. That little thing that spins your plate around in your microwave oven. This motor that's on the back half here, this is out of a blend door actuator in a a Mercury Mountaineer. It's a little thing that opens and closes the door to change from heat to air conditioning. You put these two together, and now you got a little bitty AC generator, a little mini AC generator. Now, this will put out quite a substantial amount of voltage. As a matter of fact, when I first found out about these, I saw this guy turning it on YouTube, and he got the crud shocked out of him. I said, there ain't no way that little motor put out that much of a shock. And so I got one, and I put my fingers on the wire, and I cranked that sucker over, and I got laid out. It really does put out that much power. And if you actually take a look inside these things, there's not that much copper wire in there. It's a small amount of wire. But the way that this magnet is spinning around inside there, and the way that this thing is designed, it'll put out high voltage AC. And so by taking and spinning this thing up with a power source on this side, you generate a high voltage AC. Now, that voltage right there doesn't have enough current to run this motor right here. Alright? So, what's the point? Well, imagine if you could understand how that voltage ran, or how the voltage is actually going out this thing right here, and knew how to store it, and you knew understood why it is that this little magnet spinning around like it does is able to produce higher voltages. Imagine if this thing right here was spinning at incredible RPMs, which is going to ramp the voltage up even higher. Well, you could store that pressure on demand. You could quite literally loop this thing back around if you had enough stored pressure ahead of time before you tried to run this motor with that power. And even if only intermittently you could get this thing to run itself, nonetheless, you'd still make it really incredibly efficient. But the amount of power that this little tiny thing right here is actually capable of producing, it's a lot more than people think. Everybody's always saying, well, it doesn't put out enough current watts and amps to run nothing. I can't run my house off. Of course you can't run your house off of that. Don't be ridiculous. But if you understand the concept of what that does right there, scaled up or scaled down, imagine this one here being a 12-volt high RPM electric motor. Imagine this one here being a Fisher & Paykel or Samsung direct drive washing machine stator motor. Those things are generators right out of the case without doing anything to them. And so you'll get an AC wave out there that you can run through one of the bridge rectifiers like you've seen over there, and then you can charge batteries with that thing or capacitors with it. And if you understand how to move that energy from point A to point B, well, then you'll be able to turn around and get this thing to loop itself. And they said that's not possible. But I can tell you for a fact it is possible. You just don't, you can't do it with the conventional way of using power, because the way the conventional method is wasteful of the energy. You can recapture the heat. You can basically store high voltage into pressure. It's like blowing up a doggone balloon. You know, once you got that pressure in that balloon, you tie that balloon off and hold that pressure. Now, there's certain aspects, like cold weather might cause that balloon to deflate, and you warm it back up, it might inflate again. Who knows? But, because heat expands and cold collapses, correct? It contracts. So anyway, the whole deal is, if you learn the how this energy is actually being used right now, if you get the standard model, and you understand that the standard model is wasteful, that's why whenever they throw the laws of physics out at you, oh, well, that violates the laws of thermodynamics. You know, you got too many losses in the system. You can't do this, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'd even venture to say that that little generator that I showed you right there has more than enough energy to run your house, if you understand how to use it. Now, maybe it'll take a long time to charge up a system that will actually actually do it, but it's got the voltage necessary. Hold on, I gotta get a drink of my coffee. So, I did a video called Redneck Hot Tub, and I've explained this a few times, but in the video Redneck Hot Tub, I took a 110 coffee pot element and I heated an entire tub of water. Took me 4 hours to get that thing up to operating temperature so it'd be warm enough to set in. But once it got up to operating temperature, it didn't take nothing at all to maintain it. So after a certain point, you actually had to shut that element off. Otherwise, it would get too hot for you to even be able to set in it. And so with that said, it didn't have to run constant. But that thing heated that tub up good enough so that even in the dead of winter, when there was snow and ice outside, I could get out there and get in that tub in my boxer shorts, my swim trunks, and sit in that water in the dead of winter. And that was just using an AC element right there. I know I'm sitting at 75.9 volts on that one over there. I've got 9.11 volts over there. And there's another thing, too. While this thing is running, when these capacitor banks actually get up to their certain voltage, like right now, for those that's watching in on Twitch, I'm going to get up there real close to the AC capacitors because I want you to see, or the car audio capacitors, because I want you to be able to see the voltages on there. Okay, see that? Earlier they were blinking zero. Now one of them's at 9.1 volts and one of them's at 9.2, and the voltmeter, because they're both ran in parallel, is showing 9.12 volts. So, when those things get enough pressure in there, and they won't accept any more pressure, you don't have to worry about blowing them up, because they'll push back and they will. That energy will find the least path of resistance in order to be able to basically move that energy to wherever it's needed. So if there's a capacitor bank down the line that can hold that extra pressure, it's going to go down the line. So you're moving that energy around where you need it. Everything's only taking what it needs to actually run. So with that said, with that particular bit of knowledge and the fact that your appliances don't need near the amount of power that you're shoving to them, that means that you can get your appliance to only take the amount of energy that it needs to run. And all that extra back pressure, all that extra current that's trying to come in, you guide it out off somewhere else. It's not trying to go back into the power line, so it's not fighting with your wall outlet. It's not fighting with the power input. It's just allowing that power, that energy to flow through the system smoothly, on a constant speed, just flow through smoothly and go out to whatever other appliances that you need to run. So every bit of what you've got going on in your house will run efficiently because of the fact that that power is being equally dispersed and the appliances are only taking the amount that they actually need to run. When it gets to a certain point, when everything's running and the power is still coming in and you ain't got no place for it to go, eventually it'll start backing up to the outlet again. Well, in that case right there, these right here begin to store power. When these finally reach a certain amount of power inside there, the batteries reach a certain amount of power inside there, it will literally shut the wall outlet off. So you're no longer accepting power from the grid. You're basically bringing the power into your house, storing that power into banks like this right here, and batteries, so that when everything's running fine, your power input from the power grid is completely off. You're no longer paying for electricity. You've already collected and bought all that you're going to pay for right there in that system. When this thing finally gets the voltage down to wherever you have it predetermined, then it will automatically turn the power back on. So if you determine that, let's say every hour you need to turn it on, there's a device out there that already exists on the market. It looks just like this right here. It's a timer. You can plug that into the wall, and you can set that wall outlet to turn on every hour on the hour at a certain time whenever you want it to turn on. So if you can run all your appliances for 1 hour off of your storage bank, then whenever you're running off your storage bank, you're not using the electricity from the wall. Then an hour later, when your voltage starts to get down, or you predetermined how long you can run that, this will kick on. It'll allow current to go through your system. It'll allow to charge your batteries up, and then an hour later, it'll shut itself off again. So you're only using the power from the power grid for half the day. You're not using it constantly. So that's another plus of a smart system that could be designed from what it is that I'm trying to show you, so that you're not constantly wasting power on transformers that don't need power when they're not being used. If you unplug your cell phone charger when you're not using it, then it's not wasting power. But if you have a smart system that can recognize when you're not charging your phone, when there's no draw being made on it, then it'll actually shut that transformer off for you. You don't have to worry about it. So it's not sitting there wasting power. And we could do that. We could build them into power strips and everything. We have low voltage circuits that will turn things on and shut them off. So By using power in a completely efficient manner, you're going to save money, you're going to save your appliances, and you're going to be happier in the long run. But by learning what it is, that once you reach that maximum efficiency, just think how much closer that you would actually be to what they would classify as perpetual motion if you had a doggone generator that could put out way more power than it actually needs to run. Every single generator out there on the market will put out way more power than it needs to run. And their deal is, well, you can never get out more power than you put in. Fuel-wise or electric input-wise, you might be right to some extent. But that's only because the way that we actually use the power now isn't as efficient as it could be. If you took a 2,500 watt generator and you charged up a massive storage bank and it only took you a certain period of time and then you shut that doggone generator off and ran off the surplus that you had ahead of time, then right now that generator's over there cooling down waiting for the next time you need to kick it on. So, energy storage is one of the things that they're out there talking about, they're trying to figure out right now. Well, they haven't listened to me talk, I guess, because I've already got it figured out. I'm trying to get them to try to pay attention to the deal. Either way, you get that storage figured out, and you understand that whenever you're pushing power into any device, that coming from that wall outlet, whether you're at 220 at 50 hertz or whether you're at 110 or 220 at 60 hertz, your appliances do not need that much power constantly to run. And they're constantly being given power that they don't need. If you guide that power off into a smart system, the power that's coming in anyway, because you're too stubborn to unplug certain devices, is being guided so it's not being wasted in the form of heat. It's being stored in the form of surplus. So now you got extra power that at some point you can turn off the unplugged appliances from the wall and run them straight from your storage bank. And you'll save yourself a lot of money. Most of the doggone electricity that we're putting in our house, we're wasting. It's ridiculous. And most of the energy that's being used out there, because of the way it's being used, is being wasted. Which is ridiculous. So, go over there and check out Sky Collection. Just, if you don't speak Spanish, you're probably not going to understand what it is that he's saying when he's saying it. But just watch his experiments and see what he's doing with neodymium magnets. It's pretty incredible. But these devices that you're putting together are incredibly efficient. And I don't know how many people's giving him a rash like they give me a rash. But if they pay attention to what he's showing them and they understand that that energy can actually be stored and you could push massive amounts of voltages down the line, whereas if you tried to do massive amounts of current down the line, you cause those wires to get hot and basically destroy themselves. You look at the doggone power lines out there, you don't see those things smoking. They're putting that high voltage, high frequency down those power lines, and they're not catching on fire, with exception of maybe if a transformer shorts out or whatever, and that power ain't got nowhere to go, or they got too much current flowing through it, or maybe a lightning storm or something, because they can only handle so much current. You can't shove that much current through there, because that current is what causes things to get hot. And once you recognize that, then you start moving that energy in a different fashion, Now it's not getting hot. Now you're moving the power that you need to run your appliances, but you're doing it in a more nature-friendly fashion to where you're not burning stuff up. And that's what this whole project's about. About taking and getting the maximum amount of efficiency. This circuit board and this DDS signal generator has been running non-stop for a long time. The only time that I ever shut it off is overnight whenever I want to waste all this energy that I charge it up with. If you look at those, if you're on Twitch TV and you look at those voltages that we mentioned earlier, it's 9.3 and 9.2 on there. And that one's up there to 9.18. In just that short time we've been talking, it's made it that far, and that's 75.9 of stored pressure. When those things get charged up, they'll push back on the system and shove the power somewhere else. So basically, I'm allowing the electricity to go in and charge things up. When they get pressurized as high as they can go, the system allows that energy to go on down the road to something else that needs it. And every single one of these systems will start up on their own. When they finally get enough voltage to run, they'll run. And in the meantime, they might come on in small increments, like this resistive load, this parasitic load that I put here. The amber comes on first when it gets to a certain voltage. The blue comes on when it gets to a higher voltage, and then both of the red ones will come on when it's almost at its maximum amount. And no matter what I've done so far, I still haven't blew this thing up. One would have thought that by now, by putting all this power to it, that it would have burned itself out by now. But it's not, because of the way it's using the pressure. When that thing gets pressurized, it'll allow that pressure to go on down the road, so it's still able to run. It's happy. And it's running cool. It's not burning up. And then if I took all this power that's stored inside these capacitors and I tried to run a small circuit with it that hasn't already been connected to it, there's enough current stored in that thing, it'll burn that smaller circuit out. It'll flat out burn it out. It starts smoking. I did that the other day, burned out a couple of, luckily they were cheap circuits, but nonetheless, they were for experimental purposes, and I burned them up. So that shows you that that voltage can be turned back into current. That voltage pressure, the way that these particular style capacitors are, and the difference between the storage bank in the back that's holding the high voltage, they work differently. This works more like a battery. And so step by step, stage by stage, I'm taking basically the equivalence of a pulsed DC wave pulsing the microwave oven transformer, ramping the voltage up, dropping the current down, bringing an AC wave out through start capacitors, taking that AC wave into a bridge rectifier, taking that now DC wave. So we went from a possible pulse DC to a AC to now a DC wave, smoothed out by now because of the way the capacitors are, that now that DC is charging those capacitors, pressurizing those, and then everything else from that point bleeds off downstream off of one of these capacitors. You can have multiple banks, on one on each capacitor, bleeding off in different directions and guiding that to where you want to go, charging this bank up, and then that bank charging the batteries down there below up, and so on. So, I think I get a drink of my coffee. So, learning how to use energy in a completely different fashion. And that's going to basically change the way that people would want to engineer things in the future. Maybe instead of building high current generators, we'll build high voltage generators. things like a Van de Graaff or a Wimshurst or a Lord Kelvin style generator, those or even a Hauksbee device that are capable of producing high voltages or static charges, all that power right there, you could revive an old Van de Graaff generator to actually push enough power, because there's a lot of volts that can be stored or built up by a Van de Graaff generator. And that voltage pressure can then in turn be stored and actually turned back into current, which is just what this experiment has already shown. That even though I couldn't run nothing off of that particular voltage, that the doggone Van de Graaff is pushing out, I can store that power and then use that power just like I would be if I was running off of a regular fully charged lead acid battery that has a lot of amperage to it. Same thing. The difference would be that with that lead acid battery, and because of the amperage and amount of current that it's capable of doing, if whatever motor that I wanted to run off of that couldn't handle that amount of current, because that current's going to continuously flow to any circuit like that. Once you connect it to it, it's trying to balance that battery out. So it's going to continue to go through your device. And if you're shoving too much current through the primary side of that transformer or whatever, then that transformer is going to get hot. So you'll see things in circuit boards where they'll put resistors to only allow so much power to go through. But then you look at that resistor, and now the resistor's getting hot, because you're using that resistor to slow down the current so you don't burn up the thing in front of it. But if you put the correct amount of power to it to begin with, you don't even need the resistor. It's not going to get hot. And so, because it's not meeting that resistance, by definition, it's a resistor. You know, it's resisting the current flow. And so, it's going to generate heat. If you're watching in on Twitch, I'm holding up a nichrome wire. This nichrome wire right here they use for making heater elements and, things to cut styrofoam with. It's designed to resist electrical current. So when you put electrical current to this stuff will get red hot. So if you want to cut through like plastic or styrofoam, make a styrofoam cutter, this is what you'd want. And if you want to make a heating element out of it, you know, make basically a coil to get more surface area for you to heat up the air that you're trying to blow across it, and there you go, you can make a heating element out of that, because it's designed to resist current. The more current you put through that, the hotter it's going to get. Now I can run all the voltage I want through this all day long, and it won't get hot until that voltage gets so high that it actually has current to it. Then it'll get hot. So high voltage, high frequency will still get this thing hot. High voltage, with just voltage alone, it won't get hot. That voltage will pass right through this, and it'll still just be cold as it all was. Just cold to the touch. And you won't destroy it. So that's the difference in types of materials and their purposes. But if you understand that, and you understand frequency and different waveforms that you can actually do, and what Tesla is trying to show everybody about resonant frequency, you know, how you can get certain things to vibrate. It's like the opera singer with the crystal glass when she raises her pitch of her voice up to whatever that resonant frequency of that glass will start vibrating. And if there's any tiny flaw in that glass whatsoever, it'll shatter because it's vibrating. Well, if you know the resonant frequency of any material, you can get that material to do the same thing. Produce vibration, which is produce friction, which in turn will produce heat. So you can heat things up like that. And, you know, so there's more efficient ways in order to heat that wire. So you could actually design an electric heater that wouldn't take near the amount of power to run it. So, right there in the background, you can see that thing's at 9.3 volts if you're looking in on Twitch. Both of them's at 9.3 volts and it's showing 9.26 because those both run in parallel. And there's actually circuits in there that's actually using some power. If it wasn't for those audio capacitors being in the way, well, then that would be, you know, up there like that right there. Alright? So whatever's left over right there is actually surplus energy. There's 9.26 on that one. There's 9.28 on that one. There's 9.25 on that one. The battery's getting charged up to 9.14, and that one there's at 9.25, it looks like. So all these capacitor banks right here are all storing power right now. And the ones to not touch with your bare hands is the ones, the regular DC capacitors, because they will instantaneously discharge into your hand the full equivalent of not just that voltage, but whatever farad range is actually stored as far as power inside those capacitors. And so if you're going to run anything off of these things right here, you got to understand that you connect all your loads prior to charging them. When you get your voltages up to where you need them, you can watch on the voltmeter. If your voltmeter says 9.3 volts and that thing is starting to run, then now you can shut the input signal off and see how long it run. You can time it out, and if only every 5 minutes you have to turn that power on, then that means you're only running that signal generator every 5 minutes, or maybe every hour. Right now, if I shut this off right here and just allow that that bleed down circuit, which I'll go ahead and do for people on Twitch, I'm going to shut the input. You'll watch the DDS signal generator go off and the 9-volt adapter as well. So it's going off right now. There's no power coming to it at all. We're all running on stored energy right now. Steven said, did you try with your stacking transformer, Shaziz? Did it not make any difference that you're only running one? Oh, yeah, I did run it. You can run it with the one that I actually put, the other one that stacks it up. That's another thing. If you design a transformer differently and to use that flux more efficiently, then you'll get better results than what I'm getting right here. As a matter of fact, if we took this microwave oven transformer out of the way and we built one specifically out of ferrite, because ferrite is basically made to be able to, you know, charge and discharge faster, be able to accept that wave and demagnetize and demagnetize quicker. Well, where these transformers would normally get hot because of that really fast frequency, a ferrite doesn't get near as hot because of that fast switching frequency. So if we, instead of using the microwave oven transformer, used a ferrite transformer instead, with multiple primaries, multiple secondaries, or whatever, we'd be able to get a whole lot more voltage for a whole lot less input out of that particular design. That's what would be good for, you know, a virtual labs thing, is when, you know, get some people together to figure out how to actually cast your own style of transformer cores using, you know, like black sand is, you know, a good thing to make transformers out of. You know, any ferrite, any ferrous material, metal, or whatever, soft metals, you know, maybe even metal shavings or whatever, mixed with some epoxy. Something for that magnetic field to magnetize and demagnetize so that you get that change in polarity of that field transfer. And you see right now, if you're watching it on Twitch, that I'm down to 74.2 volts and everything's just gradually being bled off by this circuit right here and whatever that battery's trying to be charged at. And so all that time where I was talking, that input was off. And so if I have a low voltage circuit to kick on at whatever timing that I want it to, then I'm only running it once in a while, the input side. And so now I'm at 9.1 and 9.2 over there. And just now that I turn that back on, it's starting to raise it back up again. So a low voltage detection circuit would tell that transformer to shut off and shut off, or shut off and come back on whenever you wanted it to. So that means, just like the alternator in your car, which isn't running continuously unless you're running a load on it constantly and your battery's trying to keep up and it tries to keep your battery charged. If your alternator can't keep up with the demand, then it won't charge your battery and you'll be stuck out on the side of the road. Well, to show efficiency, this thing can run for a little while and then shut off, just like the doggone alternator. But the difference is, it's storing power in a different fashion in a system that's made so that you're not destroying that battery from the heat of trying to push too much power to it at one time. All this, this entire system right here could be micro-sized and scaled down to fit inside an average automobile, even electric vehicles for that matter, to put buffers in between everything so that your batteries aren't doing the work. If your batteries aren't doing the work, they'll last longer. That's the whole key right there. So, let's see here. Let me look around and see if I got any more questions out there. Sorry for those of you listening in on radio, trying to juggle here. It's not it's not really easy, but I hope you're understanding what it is that I'm saying, and I'm not confusing you or running around in circles. But the thing is, I want to be able to show you things. That's why Twitch TV is important. If you're out there and you want to actually watch the radio show live, and you jump on there, I threw the links into the chat room so you'll be able to see what's going on. And, you know, for those of you that just want to listen in, that's great as well. I'm going to try to explain it as simple as possible so that everybody will understand what it is that I'm saying. Right now, that car audio capacitor is up to 9.3 and the other one's at 9.2. And it didn't take long to get back up there. And so when it got, let's say, at 9.3, I could shut it back off, and all that time, all that energy is running downhill, and I can run off of that surplus of energy. But it all started off with voltage, pressure. From the time it come out of that signal generator to going into that transformer, the losses would have been right at the input, which would be the AC wall adapter, because of that primary, because you're shoving too much power to it. But since that DDS signal generator only requires 5 volts, all I need is 5 volts of power off of this system right here to run that signal generator. So if I can bleed 5 volts off of this, I can run that signal generator. So basically, the system is pulsing itself at that stage in the game. And the AC side over there with the 9 volt is only supplementing whatever's left over. So if I can run that 9 volts off of this system and still got voltage left over, then I would be able to have a surplus of energy, and this entire system is sitting there pulsing itself. question is, how long would it do that? How long would it be able to run off of its own power before it finally ran out of enough power to do the job? Well, if I'm only requiring 5 volts and I've already got more than enough power, just that parasitic load right there alone would cover the 5 volts for the DDS signal generator. So if I took that parasitic load out and replaced it with a circuit that would just put 5 volts into that right there, then once I fire this thing up, I could switch it over to that circuit and use that energy right there that's being wasted at this time, because you see it's all charging while it's under a load. So that one there would be self-contained by the power that is stored already in this. So I'd only have to run the DDS signal generator long enough to get the power up to a certain amount of voltage past what it needs to even run it, and then be able to run it and loop that power back into that doggone thing. And then from that point on, if I get it to even more efficiency, do the same exact thing with the 9 volt. You see, I've got 74 volts there. I've got 9.2 there. I've got 9.05 over here. I got 9.09. I got 9.19 over there. And if that one's running off of a storage bank specifically for the 5 volts, then it has its own surplus, and until that surplus runs low, the rest of it is surplus that could run the next one in line. On down the line, there you go, right there. You're reaching incredible efficiency. And if you have a generator source that can put out voltage higher than what this one right here is, like if we maximize the transformer using ferrite and lots of windings on that right there, where we can ramp that voltage way up, we can charge these capacitors so fast that we got excess voltage coming out. And then you'd have a solid state generator that had no moving parts to it, which is essentially what's going on right now. There are no moving parts to this circuit right now. But this circuit could actually be improved upon. And that's because we understand how right now we're pulsing at a 60 hertz square wave, which we can pulse at a higher or lower frequency to speed it up or slow it down to whichever we need. We get the right frequency range down. We got a ferrite transformer that is got a high voltage secondary on it, and we can charge that thing up and put out a heck of a lot more voltage that we're doing right now, doing the same exact thing going all the way down. And that bridge rectifier says it's good to 1,000 volts, so we can put 1,000 volts through that system and not destroy that. And I believe that even over 1,000 volts, as long as it don't have the current, as long as there's no current involved up to that point, then over 1,000 volts will still run that and change it to a DC wave. By designing our generators with a secondary generator system in it that will basically ramp the voltage up, we can pull voltage off of it, voltage pressure out there to charge storage banks, so that at the very least, while we're running that thing, we can make it more efficient by half the time it's running off the power input, the other half it's running off of its own built-in storage. Imagine what you could do with an electric car doing that. You could get that electric car to, at the very least, extend the battery life and extend the longevity of how far you could travel on a particular charge just by pulling that voltage up and storing it. And as you're driving down that road, there's other things going on. There's friction from the tires. There's static charges that can be pulled up from the atmosphere that's passing over the car, through the car, around the car, or whatever. So you got thermal heat that can be captured. You got static charges that can be captured. You got solar that can be captured. So all the different motions that car is already going to make, that it is making, you can use it to to store that energy and reduce all the different losses in that system. Just by using your brakes alone, you're producing thermal. Just by re-engineering your rotors for your and your brake pads, you can change that thermal into still having the stopping power, but also using that thermal to produce electricity to help to supplement the system, storing that charge from the heat. The heat's got to have a place to go. Normally, it just goes out into the atmosphere. But if you transfer that heat to where you want it to go, well, then there you go, man. So anyway, for those watching in on Twitch, I'm going to go ahead and stop the stream because I'm about to throw in a tune because it's time for a coffee break for me and I don't want Twitch to sock me with a copyright because I don't want to destroy this account because I want to be able to share things live with people. And hopefully I'm going to be able to do the same thing. I'm hoping to live stream simultaneously to Twitch, YouTube, maybe even Facebook, so that we can get more people this information quicker. And for those people that want to, you know, look into alternative energy and join in on the what I like to call the dream team, all the brilliant minds out there coming together to not just understand what's going on here, but to take it and run with it. When I get this neodymium magnet accelerator together, I'm going to show you how to use that signal generator in a different manner than what it's being used right now, and how to use that spinning magnet to do the same job in a more efficient manner to charge all this stuff up. And when it's all said and done, what did you say? Just mute. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I don't know how to do that. Do I? Let me see. Oh, yeah, okay, dude. Alright, well, sorry about that, folks. I'm going to mute Twitch and stay attached to Twitch. Thanks, Steven, you're brilliant. So let me see, I'll mute that if I can find it. Alright, you can't hear me on Twitch? Yay! I get to stay there. Alright. Great plan. Muted. Alright, so now I can take me a quick music break and don't have to worry about getting whacked by doggone Twitch.
goddamn is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
I know exactly what happened now. I forgot to turn on the lock talk portion of the doggone deal. Dad, blast it. All right, let's try this again. I forgot to turn my mic back on. All right, so if you're listening in, boy, that sure was something else. I forgot to push the doggone button on there. That's part of mad science eccentric craziness going on. I figured it out. It wasn't a conspiracy after all. All right, well, hopefully I got most of that on the doggone podcast, Ted, but just in case, Ted's joined me here. But anyway, what I was trying to say about that whole doggone CO2 thing is that science says that 10,000 feet is the highest you can go without supplemental oxygen. At 14,000 feet, if you ain't got no oxygen in the cabin, the oxygen mask will come down. 30,000 feet, if you ain't got no oxygen in there, well, you're in trouble, right? And so you also have to have CO2 scrubbers in those planes so that when you're breathing out the CO2, you're not suffocating each other and that kind of stuff, right? The oxygen's still inside the plane. It's just not fresh anymore because, you know, somebody's halitosis might be funking up the joint or something like that. So you got to clean the air out. Huh?
Halitosis is real.
Yeah, BO and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I use baking soda.
Well, that'll work.
It works miracles. I used to use coconut oil and baking soda, and then I ran out of coconut oil one day, and I just used the baking soda, and it's fine. I work in the kitchen for hours. You don't need to spend that money on deodorant. I'll tell you that right now. Period. Yep. And plus, if you read the back of them deodorant containers, they got all kinds of crazy things in them. All kinds of stuff.
Well, yeah, but that's another bit of science for another day and all that kind of jazz. But either way, for those folks who's watching in on Twitch, I'm going to be here in a second. I'm going to be ending that live stream because I'm going to play us up out of here. But basically, you know what? I'm going to just... I don't want that one right there. Doggone it. Come on, stop it. All right. I'm making a mess out of things today. Alright, so what we talked about today was efficiency. I talked about reviving the whole doggone neodymium magnet accelerator and the generator so that I can show people how to use electricity in a completely unconventional manner, a different way than everybody's been accustomed to. And so with that said, everything's going to last longer. You're going to be able to store energy and use it when you want it to use it, and you're not going to have all these waste and all the things that's going to basically tear up your appliances and so on. So let me see, I'm making a mess out of here. Anyway, I hope I don't have a split podcast on here, Ted, because I just basically forgot to push the doggone lock talk button and it didn't detect the signal over at the server, so there was a dead spot in the air for a while. And it kicked over to a podcast, and I didn't even know it was on the podcast until the point when that stuff started playing over there on the OBS software and transmitting over there to Twitch. So I was like, how in the heck am I listening to a podcast when I'm broadcasting live? And I looked back around there and seen that the doggone lock talk button wasn't on and reset it all. And now we're back to square one. Now people on, they're hearing a live radio show.
I love this.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, it's all duct tape and bailing wire. So if you're listening in on Shaziz Radio, or People for People, and you want to watch the live stream, while I do the radio show, and I can show you things, experiments at the same time. We got Twitch TV for a live stream. And if I keep my act together, we can do it at the same time without shutting one off and ignoring the other. And I remember to push some buttons on. But either way, I'm going to show some super efficiency. And if you're interested in that kind of stuff, jump over there on Twitch and follow me on Twitch so that whenever I do live streams of real-time experiments, I think Ted's calling back. Must have lost your cell phone signal.
Yeah, she says, ain't nobody perfect. I'm a mad scientist, too.
Well, that's the whole thing, man. We've been technologically challenged today. and I left my coffee somewhere. I got to go find my coffee. So, with that said, I need to go ahead and end the live stream for Mad Science and the live stream for Twitch. I'll say goodbye to all my Twitch fans, their friends. I don't like to say fans, friends, whatever. You know, all you people out there. And if you're interested in Mad Science, stick around and I'll see you next time. Peace and love to everybody. And stay tuned because it's going to get exciting around here. I got a lot of projects in the works and I'm on a live stream. There'll be videos on YouTube, links all over from Shaziz.com to ShazizRadio.com to Shaziz.net. I will be putting information out there as fast as I can get it available for you. So with that said, then, yeah, hey, Stephen got a point. I could borrow the podcast off of Twitch because it never stopped. All right, so anyway, thanks for showing up there at the last minute, Ted. If you want to hang around, we can chat after I shut everything down. But peace and love, everybody. Take care on Twitch. Hope to see you around. Throw comments in there and join me here and there. Take care.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, stopped that one. Now we're still on Shaziz Radio. So with that said, play us up out of here with a little bit of craziness, and then we'll end the show for the Mad Science. Peace and love to everybody at all the different networks, People for People Radio Network, and Shaziz Radio, and everybody who makes this all possible. Peace and love. Take care.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There it is.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.